Amen. Beautiful song, huh? Amen. Something to look forward to. Hallelujah. It's always a tough time sometimes, right? So I don't think we have to I think we're all agree that sunlight's pretty important. Wouldn't you agree? Sunlight? Okay. Did you know? So I have a couple did you know today. Okay. So, all right. Did you know that vitamin D deficiency leads to all sorts of stuff? An increased risk of bone pain, bone fractures, muscle pain, muscle weakness. How about high blood pressure in adolescence? Did you know that? Okay, just learned that this week. All right, hey, there you go. All right, and also other things. It makes persons prone to most chronic diseases like type 1, type 2 diabetes, heart diseases, high blood pressure, neurological dysfunctions, tuberculosis, cancers, autoimmune diseases like systemic lupus, erythromatosis, and other things. Okay, so a lot of stuff. Okay, even Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, depression, general irritability. Sunlight's important. Okay, all right. So I'm not going to read all that. Okay, to bore you there. But light's importance, very important. Too much darkness is not good for us physically, right? Brother Tommy, would you say? And the same applies to us spiritually. And so to go ahead and get right to it, in our passage today, John's going to tell us here in 1 John, and you can see we're in chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. This is number 6, okay? And if you'll go ahead and go to it, Miss Rhonda, today's actually a four-pointer, but those who don't love others are in total darkness. Okay, and we're going to talk about the differences in these words here. Walk in that darkness, don't know where they're going, but those who love others are in the light. Now, that might be a run-on sentence, so forgive my English teachers, give me grace, okay? All right, but I try to make it into a statement, and I know sometimes you're like, you know, I'm using my, my liberty as a former English teacher there. I can't remember what you call that. My license, maybe? I don't know what you call it. But anyway, so the first one is the idea of in darkness. And so let's read those first three verses in our passage today. It says, "Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old command that you have heard from the beginning. The old command is a word you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command." Okay, I'll explain in just a second. Anybody else confused? Okay, all right. "Which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now." Okay, so first off, I love that he says, "Dear friends." Another translation is "beloved." Okay, so it's like, hey, listen, like, I love you. This is what I'm about to tell you. Okay, and again, one of the themes in 1 John is the idea of authentic Christianity. Okay, is living out our faith. It's one of the themes that we see in 1 John. He's very simple, and he repeats things, and then sometimes it can be confusing. Okay, so just be honest. Anyone else a little bit confused at the first couple of verses? Okay, I'm not writing you a command. Oh, I am writing you a new command. Okay, so let me try and explain as best I can. Okay, and if you're still confused, get with me later. But John starts the section out by stating that this command to love others is not new. It's an old commandment. Okay, and it is. Okay, so what it means by that is these are commandments in the Old Testament. Hey, people would have known these. His hearers would have understood that. They would have, oh yeah, okay, I get you. All right, like, for instance, a couple verses, okay? We could have more, but let's just look at a few in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:18. "Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Okay, so love your neighbors. Yep, even your neighbors, even the ones that get on your nerves. Okay, so no looking, no pointing at each other today. All right, Deuteronomy 6:5, "Love the Lord." We mentioned this last week. "Love the Lord with all your heart." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Okay, the Shema that we mentioned last week. And so that's just two verses in the Old Testament, but the idea is this is not new. You know you're supposed to love other people, okay? And then in verse 8, John says, "Yet I am writing you a new command." So what? First off, we got to look at the word "new," all right? It's more like the word "fresh," okay? Not stale, not archaic. In other words, it's kind of like saying It's new in another sense. Does that make sense? Okay. It's new. It's fresh in another sense. And what other sense? I got to give credit to Curtis Vaughn. I just like to give credit to people because, you know, but Curtis Vaughn is a theologian. And I love the way he explained it. He says that there are three ways that this command is new. Okay. That it's fresh. All right. You got me? So everybody, you know, sufficiently confused? I hope not. All right. And there's three ways. In its authority. Okay. In its standard. And in its practice and application. I'm just going to look at these briefly. Okay, so three ways that it is new or not stale or fresh. Okay, and so in its authority. So, you know, I think we all have been, you know, we've all worked for bosses at some point in our lives. And I guess in some situations you are the boss. All right, but, you know, like somebody tells you to do something, you're like, okay, did my boss tell me how to do that? All right, okay, you know, really, it doesn't really mean anything to you until you know it's the boss telling you. All right. So in its authority, and the idea here is Jesus is the authority. Jesus confirmed the importance of love. Look with me in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. It says, when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Thought they could, you know, I just love it when they think they can just kind of outdo Jesus. Don't you, Brother Tommy? All right. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. They would have known the importance of that. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. So why is that important? Jesus confirmed it. Jesus confirmed what was already said in the Old Testament. He said, yep, yeah, what it says, yep. I stand on that. Okay, I'm saying this is the love that we should show to others. Okay, so its authority is Jesus Christ, and then in its standard, John 13:34 says, "I give you a new command: love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another." What is the standard? The way Jesus loves them. So it's fresh in that it's authority. Jesus is the authority. And then in its standard, look, hey, you're supposed to love each other, but you're supposed to love as I have loved you. Now, we know that Jesus is going to do what for us? He's going to go all the way to the cross for us. That's pretty high standard, all right? And I know, I mentioned before, I don't want to apologize for it because, I mean, I guess it was a wonderful time and God and I've been able to use the stories as illustrations. But that was something that I had to establish as a basketball coach. I'm sure Coach, you know, Mitchell and anybody who's coach who moves to a new place to coach, you have to establish certain things, right? You have to set the standard, right? I had to kick one guy off in my first year. Now, thankfully, I didn't have to kick another guy off for the next 10 years. But I had to kick a guy off the team in the first season. You know, and it still, in a way, bothers me a little bit. I feel a little bad, but I had to set the standard. This is how things are going to go here, all right? And so we see again, it's new, fresh, and not archaic, not stale in its authority, in its standard, and in its practice and application. Theologian Ramsey explains that though the command is quote as old as the earliest apostolic preaching, it is ever new as a fresh and vital and present force, old as the sun, new as the dawn. 1 John 3, verse 11 says, "For this is a message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another." Okay? Others would have noticed a change in the believers of Christ. Why? Because of their love. John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples." What? If you love one another. If you love one another. Not if you go to church every Sunday, every time the doors are open. Not if you read your Bible every day. Not if you pray all the time. All right. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Okay? In practice and application. Right? That's how it's new. Okay? So, now let's look at this idea of in total darkness. Okay? Those who don't love others are in total darkness. So, 1 John 2:9, let's go back and reread it because I had to take a little detour there and kind of make sure we're clear on the first part of that. It says, "The one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now." Okay? So, this idea of in darkness is about existence, if you're taking notes. Okay? It's existence. It's their character. Okay? It's the people in darkness live there. That is who they are. Does that make sense? Okay, it's who they are at their core. It's their character. And let's be honest, and again, don't call names here, but don't we know people who kind of come off that way, who appear that they don't love anything, love anybody. They don't even hardly like anybody, you know. And it's their character to not be that way, to not love anyone. And in my opinion, this is a litmus test for us as Christians. You know, we can't say we love God and then not love our brothers and sisters consistently, right? No matter how different they may be, right? Amen. You know, we don't have to always get along with them every waking second. But our lives should not be characterized by hate. You know, we've all have difficult people in our lives. Some of y'all like, amen, but I see them every period. Okay, every third period or whatever, or whatever for you. That, you know, students, some of them can be hard to love, and then but fellow Christians can too. I've been at a church where I have one particular one. He was hard for me to love. Okay, well, he didn't agree with anything, you know. But he was still a brother, and I still was called to love him, right? And so, you know, it's very simple. We are liars if we say we are in the light, yet we hate others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, and so I'm going to give you guys one little, like I called it a little nugget. Okay, a little nugget of truth, a little truth nugget at the end of each little point. Okay, and so it's right here. It's going to be in all capital letters. So if those who are taking notes, you can get it. Hopefully I won't go too fast on you. But a person who doesn't love others, this is the first one, a person who doesn't love others is in darkness. You can see this in their character. They're in darkness. Their character is that way. That's who they are as a person, and it's a very sad thing. Okay, and so we'll go to the next point, which is walking in darkness. Okay, so the first one was just a person, that's their core, it's their character, they're in darkness, and then the next one's walk. So there was a little boy that was afraid of the dark. One night, his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring her the broom. Well, the little boy turned to his mother and said, Mama, I don't want to go out there, it's too dark. Right? The mother smiled reassuringly at her son. You don't have to be afraid of the dark, son. Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and he'll protect you. Well, the little boy looked at his mother with a confused stare and asked, are you sure he's out there? Right? And she said, yes, I'm sure, son. He is everywhere and he is always ready to help you when you need him. Well, the little boy thought about that for a minute and then went to the back door and cracked it a little bit, peering out into the darkness. He called out, Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom? All right, that's about how it is, right? See, walking, he didn't want to walk out, right? Walking is simply a metaphor for the course of one's life. As I mentioned last week, your walk should match your talk. If you were here last week, if you weren't here, we talked about that a little bit. You know, your talk and your walk should match. It should show in how we live our lives, right? The choices that we make, our actual actions. So this one, this second point, is more about action and conduct, okay? Whereas the previous idea of being in darkness is more about existence and character, okay? So that's the difference there. And so I like how Finley says it. His conduct matches his character. He cannot act otherwise than he is or walk in any region other than that where his habitation lies. That's who he is as a person. If it's one of love for other people, right, then it would be reflected in how they live their life. And so simply put, do your actions show others that you love Jesus? Does our actions show others that we love him? In 1 John 2, verse 11, it says, but the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay? So, because if not, that person that says right there, again, John is very simple, that person is walking in darkness, okay, presently and continuing, right? I honestly believe that there are those who think they are walking in the light, but they're not. You know, I know some of you can identify with what I just said. You're like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, you know, not trying to be a judge, all right? But again, we know them by their fruit. But it's a fake light. It's like the mirage, you know? And, you know, people can fake it for a while. So this idea of walking here is the idea of a person groping in the dark. Y'all ever done that? Like, you know, at night, you know, if something gets kind of, if something's in my way, because I have to go to the restroom because I'm old, all right, and I'm an old man, okay, and without going into detail, and I have to wake up a couple times a night, and I'm like, making sure I don't hit anything on my way there, all right? Okay, it's this idea of imagine living life that way, you know, of just kind of like I'm in darkness, I can't really see where I'm going all the time, right? And so in the previous chapter, John says last week, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. And then in Proverbs, it talks about the wicked stumbling, but the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. You know, and so that same idea, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and just kind of walking around goes with that. So unfortunately, my guess here is we look at this idea of love. My guess here is that there are people in the room who were hurt because the words "I love you" weren't said to you enough by a particular person. Your mom, your dad. A lot of times, this is dad. Okay, you know, but I think there's a kind of a another side of that coin, right? How many of us have been hurt by people in our lives who said they loved us, but they didn't show it? See, we talk about the other a lot. Oh, I'm scarred, man. You know, my so-and-so never told me he loved me. You know, I don't know why he never told me. But then you have this other, they'll say it, but they don't ever show it. Yeah, I think in those classes, they say they like me, but then they act like, you know, crap all the time. Well, you don't really like me. All right, you just say it. You know, you give me a high five and you come in, but you don't love me. You don't love me. I don't feel the love here. All right, I don't feel it. So, and so the little nugget for this idea of walking in darkness is on the screen because Miss Rhonda is awesome. A person who doesn't love others walks in darkness. You can see this in their actions. So we can see this in their character. You see the same thing in their actions. And then point number three here, there's a central statement again is on the screen. Those who don't love others are in total darkness, walk in that darkness, and don't know where they're going. But those who love others are in the light. So number three, they don't know where they're going. Right? 1 John 2:11, and we'll read it again. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So if in the darkness is about existence and character, just trying to reiterate that and, you know, and do my job there to make sure I'm clear if you're taking notes, okay? So if the first one is about existence and character, and then walking in darkness is about action and conduct, this last point regarding darkness is the idea that a person in darkness is without direction. Without direction. So it is a little different, okay? Without direction or goals in life. I love how Curtis Vaughn, theologian, says about this person. He simply says his whole life is a blackout. Okay? And not the type of blackout that, you know, wearing a shirt and black t-shirt on football game night. Okay? But blacked out. Like no direction, nothing. It's darkness and I don't even know where I'm going now. Like it's a person who, not like the person who gets up in the middle of the night like me to go use the bathroom, but gets up and like, where is I going? You know, I have no idea. I think I'll go to the refrigerator. Yeah, I got whatever. So, see, this person is directionless. That's a scary place to be, right? Without direction. Proverbs 4:18-19 says, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble, because they don't know where they're going. They have no direction. What a sad place that is. And I can relate to this somewhat. And let me be clear here. I don't think that God necessarily will, you know, if you have a direction, I mean, have a decision to make, that he's necessarily going to say in an audible voice what direction to go in. Right, you know, there's a lot of I actually read a book about that this week, you know, a chapter or a couple pages there about that, and how, you know, some people have some weird ways, even Christians have some funny ways about making decisions, you know, and they're like, oh, I turned to a certain page in the Bible and there it was, or, you know, it's like, you know, or the open door policy. Well, if this door is open, that just means I should just go right through it. Well, maybe it's a choice, or you could just stay where you are. You know, but the idea and all of that, you know, I feel like, and I know I'm going off. Let me go on a side road here, for a dirt road, for just a second. I do think sometimes us as Christians can be more concerned about that you know, about what direction to go, rather than just, you know, being obedient and pursuing God every day, if that makes sense. I feel like, you know, and I've done that sometimes. I've been guilty of that. You know, I really don't know what to do, man. Gosh, I don't know what to do, Brother Tommy. Well, every day I'm called to love God and love His people, right? I'm pursuing Him, and I'm grateful for the salvation that He has brought to me. And I live in that, you know, rather than, I do again, I feel like sometimes we chase those things and actually make some bad decisions. But even in that, God can still redeem it. Amen. And so I just want, you know, I hope I didn't chase a rabbit too far there. But I can relate to being aimless. I really can, you know, before, and again, it's just for me personally, it was one of those things where I did feel like God shed the light on some things for me, because I had like five or six different majors, and I was a psychology major, I was a sociology major, I was accounting major, I was whatever, you know, you name it, you know. But I also had no direction, okay, because I had not trusted in what Jesus did on the cross as counting for me yet, okay, and that was one for me personally. It is part of my testimony. I did feel like, very shortly after giving my life to Christ, there was a certain direction towards people, you know, towards helping in an educational type way, you know, as being around kids and being an influence on kids, you know, but think about that. It's kind of sad, you know, being in darkness and walking in it are both not great, but having no direction isn't either. Right. I think about how tough it was to make those decisions. I was thinking a lot about college age kids, you know, this week, you know, and even this morning, you know, I'm thinking about some of the ones who I have a relationship with who told me, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to come to your church, coach. You know, I'll be there this Sunday, and then I don't see them. You know, but I was thinking about the time when Sally and I taught college and career group Sunday school at our house. And Kaylin was a baby. You know, we had to stop class, the middle class, we have to change the diaper. You know, I mean, that was, sorry, Kaylin. That's on Facebook. Praise the Lord. But anyway, all right. Sorry, I didn't think what that would do to you. All right, have tough skin, girl. You'll be okay. But anyway, that's a tough time to be in college and be like, man, I just don't know what to do, right? Did you guys know, that there are some fish in Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky? Never been there. All right, anybody ever been there? Oh, you have been. Okay, awesome. Well, look at there. Well, I didn't know. I feel better about my illustration. But did you know that there, some of these fish are actually eyeless, no eyes at all, right? Oh yeah. But y'all notice that. Y'all can preach this sermon. I'm gonna go sit down. I'm just playing. All right, but no, they have adapted to that lightless, low-energy environment by seasoning to grow eye structures and unnecessary skin pigment. Similarly, how about pit ponies? Anybody know about pit ponies? Yes. Oh, I found one you didn't know. Okay. So pit ponies were used back in coal mines back in the day. Okay. Horses, ponies. All right. And a lot of them would become blind because of the darkness. Okay. But they would still move around because of the environment. But again, the darkness causing that. That's the point. The penalty, Smith said, the penalty of living in the darkness is not merely that one does not see, but that one goes blind. Okay. One goes blind. Listen, don't go blind spiritually, okay? Now, this is not on there, Miss Rhonda. I want to read Isaiah 42, verse 6, right? Because I just think it goes really well with it. It says, I am the Lord. I have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by your hand. I will watch over you, and I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the nations, in order to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those sitting in darkness from the prison house. So one of the things that we are called to do is to help in that spiritual blindness that people have, and show and live our lives in front of them. Amen. And so the nugget for this particular point is, a person who doesn't love others is directionless. Is directionless. You can see this in their aimlessness, a lot of wandering around and not knowing where to go. And then the last one is those who are who love others are in the light. And so 1 John 2:8 and then 2:10, okay, says, yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And then verse 10 says, the one who loves his brother or sister does what? Remains in the light. And there's no cause for stumbling in him. Every time I see the words in the light, I'm sorry, I'm a DC Talk baby. I can't help myself. Okay? All right? You with me? Anybody else with me on that? Okay. Oh, just Dana and Sally. Okay. Thank you. Those two get me. Every time I say in the light, I want to sing a song. I want to be in the light. And you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Because all I want to be is in the light. All right. So that's all you get. So praise God. Amen. Amen, Jimmy. He's not here. All right. Okay. Most seriously, though, I just love that song. You know, I want to shine like the stars in heaven. All I want to be is in the light, as you are in the light. Okay. That's really, you know, as a song, it really, there's truth in that. And that we should, that should be our desire, to be in the light as God is in the light. Amen. That should be our desire, to live every moment in the light of Christ. Nobody likes the dark. You know, just be completely honest. Think about kids. Like, seriously, like, there was, like, I know I'm not the only one who didn't like the boogeyman in the closet, right? I didn't like the dark. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I meant to ask Sally about it. I forgot. But there was, like, even some game we did, like, man, we had some weird stuff as youth groups in the 80s and 90s, you know? But we did some game, like, Oogie Boogeyman or something. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, okay. It was like, and you would do different things, and they would trick you, and then they'll throw water on you or something. Maybe it's just mine. It's just like the whole the chubby bunny thing, you know, or is that what, like, right? And you would eat the marshmallows. They had to stop doing that because people actually got hurt. I think some people actually died from that. Yeah, crazy. We should do some stupid stuff in the youth group in the 90s, man. I don't know what we were thinking. But anyway, all right, I digress. But all right. I don't know. I just completely went off on a tangent there. But, all right, so we did. We did some crazy stuff. All right, but true. Okay, I want to look at the word true. The Greek word for true means real or genuine, which is so appropriate because of John's emphasis in the whole book about, you know, like I said earlier, genuine, true, authentic Christianity as opposed to a counterfeit, right? And again, I want to ask, are you real or are you fake? We kind of said that a few times as we've gone through this sermon series. Darkness is passing away. Let's look at that part again. And let's look at a few verses that goes with that. Because the darkness is passing away. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is nearly over and the day is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. There will be a day. We sang that earlier. There will be a day. When all things will be made new. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 and 5 says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark, talking to Christians, for this day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all, what? Children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. See, that day is coming, the day of Jesus' return. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay? Will you be ready? See, some of us used to live in darkness, right? Let's look back at us and let you... Just admire and love on the Lord even more from your heart. Ephesians 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light of the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We used to be that way, right? We used to be blind, but now we can see. Right? I like the saying, you know, Jesus didn't come back and didn't go on a cross and die for our sins and be raised again to make good people bad. Right. But to make dead people alive. Amen. Right. See, the true light is already shining. John 1:9 says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Who is it? Well, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Sally read this earlier. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Whole lot better being than the light. Okay, just ask one of us old people who have to wake up in the middle of the night in the dark, right? Okay, all right. Horatius Bonar had this short poem that goes this way. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy days be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. Okay? It's called I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, by the way. Ask me later. So what can we as believers do? We can simply do our best to reflect the light of Christ by embracing this new command to love. All of it is based on love. All right. The first three points about darkness was the idea of someone who doesn't love. Okay, this last one is about those who do. Remember last week, 1 John 2:6, the one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Whew. How tough is that? How crazy is that? It got me thinking about a book called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. Anybody familiar with that book? Anybody read that book? Crazy Love by Francis Chan. If you ever get a chance to read it, it's very good. Okay, it's extreme, you know, in a good way. All right, it pushes you. It makes you really, whew. Yeah, am I really doing all I can for the cause of Christ? I just want to read you just a couple of quotes from the book, some highlights that I like from that book that goes with our sermon, with the message today. To God's definition of what matters is pretty straightforward. He measures our lives by how we love. I mean, it's a very good point. He also, I have four of them, okay? The second one is, do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people he has made? It's a question that Francis Chan asked, right? How we love the other people will be known by our love. And I think that is true in no matter what job you have. You know, people know. People know. People can see it on you. Amen? They really can. All right, and so I like the next question. The next thing he says, he simply asks, are we in love with God or just the stuff? You know, just the stuff that we get. Or are we in love with God? It's a good question. And then this one's a little longer, but I still like it. It says, the irony is that while God doesn't need us but still wants us, we desperately need God but don't really want him most of the time. He treasures us and anticipates our departure from this earth to be with him, and we wonder indifferently how much we have to do for him to get by. Amen, Romy. Right? He says, but what does this love truly look like? Right? And that's the question I want to lead me to this, towards the end of this point or the next point, sub-point here, is who do we love? Well, everyone. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I love you, you're also love one another. Remember, we talked about that earlier, the standard, a new standard that's fresh. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And then Matthew 5, 43, 48 says, you have heard that it says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This isn't easy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it is. Okay? So it's the word of God. Right? Goes on to say, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Again, when I see that, I got to say again, somebody telling you that, you know, if you're a Christian, everything's going to be rose gardens and ice cream and all, that's a lie. Okay? Says right there again. Right? Good and bad things are going to happen to everybody. All right? For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? Right? Which would have been big slap in the face right there. Okay, a heavy statement. It says, and if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father, Heavenly Father, is perfect. So how much do we love? To what extent? All the way to death, as much as humanly possible. John 13:1, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them, what? To the end. To the end. John 15:13 says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Okay, being willing. And again, this is easier said than done. All right? And I want to add this this one as far as where it says as how. I want to add this because it's a matter of will. It's a choice. It's not an emotion. Amen? Mr. Lawrence, it's not an emotion. We choose. And I think I've told you this before, when I do marriage counseling, which I, like I said, I haven't done a wedding in over a year, so y'all know anybody want to get married, I'm kind of missing out on that, you know. But, you know, I try to tell them, or I pretty much tell them every time, especially the last several times, I tell them to look at each other, and I say, you know, she won't always be as pretty, he won't always be that good looking. I don't know if you remember me telling you that, Candace, but it's a choice that you make. It's a choice, and you guys, a choice that you make. I'm going to love that person today. I may not feel lovey-dovey, but I'm going to make a choice, and I'm going to love that person today. If we are truly disciples of Christ, we must, you know, it talks about going all the way to the end. Jesus going all the way to the end. Are we willing to go to the point of death for others? And I realize that's a very bold statement, but it's the truth. I mean, look, I get it. Like, I love you guys in here, all right? But, you know, I'd most definitely die for Sally and Kaylin and Riley, but it would be really hard otherwise, okay? I mean, I'm just being completely honest, all right? And then looking from God's point of view, that he gave his son, right? You know, I don't know if I could do that, right? And with my girls, and I just have to say, because Martin Luther King Day, I don't want to make too much of a. I'll try to not chase this rabbit too long, but Martin Luther King Day is special for us. I don't know if I ever told you guys, all right? But we found out that Sally was pregnant with Kaylin on Martin Luther King Day, all right? And then Riley was born on Martin Luther King Day, all right? I mean, it's both of them. Right, and so I think it's appropriate to use a couple of quotes today. I'm gonna use two. I'm gonna tell you one now and one later. Martin Luther King Jr. says, "Hatred paralyzes life; love releases it. Hatred confuses life; love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life; love illuminates it." Doesn't go to me so well with what we've talked about today. See, the little nugget for this one is real simple for this fourth point. A person who loves others is in the light. A person who loves others is in the light. I am convinced that true love is from Christ. Amen. And so the conclusion, in conclusion, I love how David Gusick describes the love of Jesus. He's not the only one to say things like this. There's been songs sung about it as well. But I want to give him credit for it because he says the cross points in four directions to show that the love of Jesus is wide enough to include every human being. Right? It's long enough to last through all eternity. It's deep enough to reach the most guilty sinner, right? Even me. Yes, even me. All right? High enough to take us to heaven. All right? So I also want to make the point that anyone can do this. Okay, so let me make a point that I think that y'all will like. Oh, I didn't. You know, I think it's a good point here. If I do say so myself, look at John himself. Okay, who was the author of all this? John, right? God, Holy Spirit inspired, right? But John is the author. What do we know about John? let's look at Luke 9, verse 54. Okay, when the disciples, James and John, brothers, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" That's your writer. The writer that we've been talking about. He's been talking about loving other people. Okay, living in the light, not being in darkness. This man, before he wrote this, wanted to throw down fire from heaven to consume a bunch of people who had a different view than he did. Okay, so much that he and his brother James were called sons of thunder. I mean, y'all knew that. Okay, all right. You don't believe me? Look at Mark 3, verse 16 and 17. He appointed the 12. To Simon he gave the name Peter, and to James, son of Zebedee, and to his brother John, ding, 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 he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. John was a son of thunder. He had some temper. Let's throw down fire on them people, Jesus. Okay? That same guy is the one who keeps talking time and time again about loving other people. What changed? Jesus changed him, right? And so I just think that's remarkable. This is possible only through Christ, through trusting him. There's an old hymn titled Trust and Obey, right? Yeah, Trust and Obey. As I asked Mr. Loris Masada to come up, because I'm pretty much done, right? With text by John Samus, the first verse and refrain read, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My hope is that you've done that today. You've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross is counting for you. And I want to end with one more more quote by Martin Luther King, and we celebrate him tomorrow. It says, "Love is the greatest force in the universe. It's the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. He who loves is a participant in the being of God." Okay? Again, we will show that we are a follower of Christ by our love. Right? And so my encouragement to you is for us to, and for me, is for us to do just that. Amen. All right, Sally, come lead us. All right.